Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast. Park fans, you know by now, we are a podcast for theme park fans. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi everyone.
And every week we are here chatting about the goings-on in the theme park industry in the UK and beyond. We chat to some interesting people as well, and we have got a great guest on the show for you today, which we'll talk about in a little while. Before we start though, because Kev, I know you're not hanging around today, you're leaving me, you're abandoning me.
Sadly not. Yeah, unfortunately, I've got to go.
You've got an important... Kev's moving house soon, so basically his time at the moment is spent at the charity shop. Not buying stuff, just donating stuff and
secretly trying to get my children not to get rid of things that I want them to get rid of.
Do your kids do that as well? They've not played with this for ages. The minute you get it out to go to the charity shop.
Oh, yeah.
My favourite toy.
Well, to be fair, our eldest has been brutal with some of the stuff.
Good.
Like, she's got like some Disney stuff and she's like, yeah, I don't need that anymore. And I was like, it's from Disneyland Paris. What are you doing? So I'll secretly sneak it back into the keep pile.
Oh, no,
you're
the
trouble
problem.
Because I'm the problem. But yeah, so unfortunately, I've got moving house stuff to do.
You're just crying though, aren't you? And you remember how much that cost you at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
That's for another episode. That's for next week's episode. We are going
to
be talking about
that.
About that next week. Before we get to next week and before we get to today, let's just very quickly look back at last week. Last week's episode, of course, was Drayton Manor. We were talking all about that. And some big love in your Pirate Adventure fan club.
I know.
Which we kind of unofficially started last week.
It just surprises me. You know, we've talked about this a few times. Like, sometimes you do feel like I'm the only nerd out there. And then you realise, hey, I'm not the only one that cares for,
Pirate Adventure,
for these sorts
especially.
Of things. But I think it's, you know, we like Blackpool as well. There's certain rides and things that, you know, hold a nostalgic value, and it is sad to lose things. And it's a shame that, you know, certain things just don't get the love or upkeep that maybe they should. And, you know, I think it's nice that other people remember it. And sometimes with rides, you do have to just have fond memories of it, and that's it. And you kind of have to move on, you know, enjoy the memories you've had. And then if Drayton do build something new on it, which fingers crossed they do, you know, we'll have fond memories of that and we'll enjoy something new that they've built in the future.
We can only hope. It is a big part of the park, a big space there. I can't imagine they're going to leave it empty for long. But again, we'll keep an eye on it. And just an update on our crack case of what happened to the Drunken Barrels German lady when it became.
Where is Gretel?
Barrels.
Gretel? Gretel.
Well,
do we find out where she is?
We speculated that she was in Theme Park Worldwide's World of Theme Parks. Sean Sandbrook has confirmed she is not.
Okay.
She is apparently, according to him, still at the park, just kind of buried under some scenery.
Behind the hotel as well?
Possibly. She might be in one of the Pirate Adventure boats.
Are we building up a collection of things hidden behind the Drayton Hotel here?
We're going to need to go on a little expedition. We'll go to Drayton Manor. We won't actually go to the park. We'll just go hunting around for lost attractions and scenery. And
absolutely.
See what we can find.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's apparently where she is.
Well, I can sleep now, so that's okay.
Good. You're welcome.
I was worried for a minute that I was gonna struggle.
It's been bothering you all week, but it's fine. She's to some degree she is safe.
Not for long though. Onto the to be tipped pile, I think, you know.
Right, so that's all. That's where we are for now, from last week and looking ahead to next week. Kev, I'm going to bid you farewell for your charity shop expedition, but you are missing a good one, because this week I am going to be chatting to the designer, developer, director behind probably the best theme park game that's ever been released.
Yeah.
Planet Coaster 2. And I know you're a little bit jealous of that. So
very much so.
That.
Yeah. No, don't worry. Yeah.
We'll see you next week and we will welcome our guest to Parkcast.
Parkcast.
Now, this week, you'll have been living under a rock if you didn't notice the big launch of probably the best theme park emulating game ever to existed, I'd say. And of course, talking about Planet Coaster 2, and I'm delighted to be joined by the game director for Planet Coaster 2. It's Rich Newbold. Welcome to Parkcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
Oh, we are more excited than you, I guarantee it. Like I said, this has been huge for our community. You know, Planet Coaster itself, it was a game changer. So when we heard that Planet Coaster 2 was coming, I know we were all really, really excited about that. Before we sort of get into the details of Planet Coaster 2, let's just take it back to the start and back to what you do. So you work for Frontier Developments, and Planet Coaster isn't all you do. You do lots of other games. You're kind of big in the gaming world.
Yeah, that's right. Frontier Developments has been a company that's been making games for over 20 years now. We've made a number of different games. Planet Coaster and Planet Coaster 2 are just some of them. We make other games like Jurassic World Evolution 1 and 2, F1 Manager, and Elite Dangerous as well. So there's a large number of us at the company that make a lot of different diverse games in our portfolio, yes.
Yes, I mean, I hold my hands up and say I am not a gamer at all. My husband, on the other hand, the room that I'm in now, I am basically surrounded by Dreamcasts, N64, Mega CDs, Mega Drives, all things like that. So he's a big gamer. And I think Elite Dangerous, that was something that he mentioned. It's like, oh, it's such a cool game. It's such an epic game. And I've got him playing Planet Coaster now. So, you know, we'll come on to that. But yeah, you guys, you know, you're doing amazing stuff. And obviously, you're based here in the UK, which is awesome. You're just down the road from me. I'm up here in Lincolnshire. And I think you guys are in Cambridge, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're in Cambridge. We've been here for a while. And that's great. The company spun out from David Braben, who made Elite back in the 80s, and he formed his own company, and we're still here now, and David's still a big part of the company. It's great to be in Cambridge. It's a wonderful city to be so close to the university and all that amazing technology and the enthusiasm for this kind of industry as well in this area.
Yeah, it's amazing to have something like this, you know, in the UK, supporting, developing people who are interested, getting into the games industry, having places for them to go. So in terms of theme parks and Planet Coaster, I mean, Planet Coaster wasn't your first foray into theme park games, was it? Because you kind of took on Roller Coaster Tycoon and you did RCT3.
Yeah, that's right. The company has a wonderful heritage in roller coaster games and theme park games. As you say, we started with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. As one of the first games that we took on as a company. And from there, we've touched theme parks in various different ways. We did Thrillville as well as Zoo Tycoon and Planet Zoo. So we've kind of moved into, we've got theme parks and kind of the zoo aspect as well. But Planet Coaster is definitely where our heart is. We love making theme parks and roller coasters and everything to do with it. So Planet Coaster 2 has been such a joy to work on for us.
So in order for you to make the games, are you like one of us? Are you a theme park nerd, or are you just someone who's like, no, I can take this game, I can make it?
Yeah, I'm more the latter, actually. As game director, my job is to identify what the game is and what the game isn't, and prioritise what the features and content are going to be in the game. But myself, I like theme parks, but I'm not what maybe you would call a big enthusiast. I love going to theme parks, but personally, I get motion sick and I'm afraid of heights. So like, physically, there's a part of my body that doesn't want to engage in the more thrilling aspects, but I still love going to the theme parks. I love being on some of the rides if I'm feeling brave, and my stomach will cope with it. And the team itself is full of these kind of full of enthusiasts that love theme parks. And it's been great to go to different theme parks and absorb everything in there and just see the enthusiasm in the team of making Planet Coaster 2 and then putting that passion into the game itself.
Oh, you can be an enthusiast and be scared of heights. That is me. I am scared of heights roller coaster fan. But yeah, I kind of get it. Not everyone gets as involved as we do in this community. But the fact that you can still make something that is true to life without being a hardcore enthusiast, you know, it's impressive to us. So obviously Planet Coaster came out originally in 2016, which I bet you can't believe it was like 8 years ago now.
No, it's the time is... it's like a paradox. It feels so long ago, but also such a short period of time. I worked on the original Planet Coaster as a producer, so my job was more on the project management side. So it was kind of a bit more on the how the game is going to be made. But now the game, as game director, my job is what the game is. And it has been a period of time since then, but it's been great to go back to Planet Coaster 2. It was a game that we supported for a number of years post-launch with updates and paid DLCs, additional rides and different themes. And coming back to Planet Coaster 2, it's been great to experience.
Yeah, so no, like I said, my husband's a bit of a gaming geek, and he was that person on the PS5 pre-order day. He's a Typhoon pilot, so he flies fighter jets, and he was literally walking out to a fighter jet trying to pre-order the PS5 on Amazon, and he had me at home doing the same thing, like refresh, just so that he could get it on release day. And he did get it, and he was looking through the window on release day, because it was COVID, wasn't it? Waiting for that PS5 to arrive on PS5 drop day. And one of the first games he got was the original Planet Coaster. And my kind of back end memory of that COVID year was just that music going round and round and round my head, because we were all locked inside over Christmas and he was just at home playing Planet Coaster nonstop. So it's kind of like, it's like the theme to my COVID Christmas. It's like iconic Planet Coaster music. Was that something you guys were involved in as well, or did you just outsource that and go, we just need a nice kind of theme that goes along with it? Because it's really, really, I think, iconic amongst us as enthusiasts.
Yeah, everything about Planet Coaster we do in-house. There are some kind of talent pools that we do outsource. So the composition and the music orchestra might be something we do outsource, but all of it is done under the purview of us. We will have a big heavy hand in that music direction and what it's going to be. The theme especially, we were super excited on the original and in Planet Coaster 2 of those notes and that kind of, as you say, that hook that just embeds itself in your brain. And that's something that we get in the office as well. We love having him. With the sequel, when Ben, my audio lead, was taking the theme from the original and putting it into the sequel, of how we can improve it and how we can take it to the next level. So it's not just the same thing again. It's something more, this water aspect to it as well, because that's a big part of the sequel. How we can take that iconic theme but keep plussing it and improve it and make it better for the sequel. But yes, it's definitely something that all of us in the office have in our brain as well. If someone says Planet Coaster, we can just think about it and it's there. It's nice, and it's something that's unique and part of what we wanted Planet Coaster to be in the sequel and the original. It's a fun, it's a positive theme park experience. It's whimsy, and that's what the theme is as well. It's super positive.
So let's go on to Planet Coaster 2, which is obviously the new release. What were you sort of thinking that you could build on from Planet Coaster? Because it was such an awesome launch. Everyone in our community was like, we can't believe how far we've advanced from Roller Coaster Tycoon, which we're all like, don't get me wrong, massive fans of. And I am an OG theme park player from back in the 90s day. But when you compare what those games did to Planet Coaster, it was a huge, huge leap. So where did you guys start with Planet Coaster 2? When you thought, right, we're going to bring out another version, what do we need to do? How do we grow this?
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, it's been 8 years between the two releases, and we at that period of time, we wanted to target a big step up of improvements. And one of the things that we really wanted to add to that amazing foundation was water parks. The roller coaster, the flat rides, all of that theme park aspect was, as you say, great start in the original Planet Coaster. But for Planet Coaster 2, we wanted to add water park to that as well and have an almost complete package of great experiences that you can build for your guests and have that creative pool for you to be building things in.
And for you to go and model this stuff, you know, on both versions of the game, I guess you've got to go and visit theme parks, water parks, so you can go and say, right, well, we need to recreate this, or this is an aspect that we think would work really well in the game.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got a team full of enthusiasts. We will go to theme parks, we go to water parks in our own time or as part of work as well, of looking at the detail. And that's something that we know our community really want. And it's the detail of being at a theme park, of knowing how the cars or the rides or the water parks are built or modeled on the inside and how the construction of everything is built. And we wanted that to be reflected in the game as well. And looking at how the flumes work and how you can build flumes in Planet Coaster 2, building the pools, putting the wave machines in, all those different aspects of building a water park was a key thing. We wanted to be authentic to things that people are experiencing in real life as well. And that's a key part of what we build at Frontier Developments. All of our games have a level of authenticity, whether it's how a real life a dinosaur might look, how space physics might work, how theme parks look as well. We wanted to really get that across in the sequel as well.
Yeah, I think you definitely do that. I think we can all tell that if you're not an enthusiast, you clearly did your homework. We can see the stuff that we love replicated really, really well. Do you speak to manufacturers as well to get that insight, or is it literally a case of just going and visiting the parks?
We don't work with any of the manufacturers directly. It's all about what we see ourselves, or we pull from our own experiences from being at the theme parks and kind of recreate the visuals of you going to parks and how the paths are built, where the bins and benches look, how the shop fronts are done. That we kind of take all of that stuff in, and then we recreate it for you guys to experience in the game.
I mean, I'm sure the more geeky amongst us do notice the little nods to some of the manufacturers in your own manufacturing names, like High Peak Construction, Automax. That's a good one. That's got to be Intamin, hasn't it? It's got to be.
We have our own manufacturers in Player Coaster 2. They are inspired by the ones in real life. And if that's what you see, then that's what you see.
It's a good politician's answer. I'll let you have that. When we're talking about emulating stuff, obviously a massive part of Planet Coaster, love them, hate them, is the guests who turn up at your parks. And you might think, you know, originally it's not a huge part of creating a theme park, but clearly in the game, you've got to keep those guests happy, or if they're not happy, you literally can't succeed it. You can't progress in the game. So how do you sort of begin to model that? How do you work out what people are going to do, how they're going to react to what you're building? It seems like a crazy level of detail to have to go
Yeah,
into.
it's a very challenging puzzle that we do enjoy tackling. It's all about foundations. We start with having the guests choose their navigation points. What's going to drive that behavior of what are they going to choose to go to visit? And figuring out whether it's based on prestige, the excitement, the fear, the nausea ratings of the things that are in your park, and layering that stuff up on the decision making. And just keep building and building upon that, adding in their needs, such as their food, their drink, their toilet need. And we've just been taking it step by step of building this kind of this behavior that the guests will have, that as you're building your theme parks, they're reacting to you and you're reacting to them. So if they're showing you that they're really thirsty and you put down those drink stands, they're going to react to that and go visit them and vice versa. So there's a layering in of those different behaviors. But as you mentioned, playing theme park Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, the guests are always a key part of all our theme parks. When we go to them, we're a guest. So they've always been a key part of building these kind of games is the experiences that we have when we visit them. What are we going to need? We all have different tolerances. I don't like heights. And that's what we have in the game as well. We have guests that don't like certain rides. So you have to build and cater your theme park to the different types of guests. And we make it as authentic as possible to us as people and what we want to see from our theme parks as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a really good layer of authenticity in it. I think there's also a layer of the absolute absurd, absurdness that you can go to. And I'm sure you've been monitoring TikTok over the last week or so, and you've seen some of the things that already people have been coming out with. There was a great one that I saw the other day where a roller coaster was just on fire. It was just going up and down on fire. I don't know if you saw that one.
We always see two ways. So you have the theme park management aspect of guests and the economy making stuff function as a real life park, but there's that creative aspect as well of we want it to be a sandbox that allows you to have different tools to create amazing looking coasters and rides that might not be realistic and something that you can have in real life, but we have a game that has lots of scenery pieces and tools that allow you to be show off this imagination you might have these creative ways. And as you say, there's been since launch, there's been amazing creations that have made in our community that will fill us full of joy or make us smile or doing things in an inventive way that we hadn't really considered. We've just been providing a platform and tools and seeing how the community have been taking them to the next level has been it's been great for the whole team in the last week.
I was going to say, has there ever been anything that's been built that you thought, I didn't even know it could do that?
We've seen a few this week where they've taken the coaster car customization where you can attach scenery directly onto the cars and then put them like the tracks underneath the terrain and faking a car. And there's just ways that we hadn't considered of using those tools together. And it's amazing to see that kind
Yeah, I guess it must be funny for you guys to just sit back and look at what we're doing and go,
of.
what on earth are they putting together now? What on earth are they building now? In terms of, you sort of talked about the scenery and being able to change that. That's an update that I've noticed in Planet Coaster 2. So you've got this sort of broad brush ability to make scenery nice. You don't have to go in and individually place, you know, rocks or trees and stuff. You can just go make this look pretty. Was that something that you got fed back on, or just something you thought would make our lives easier?
Well, from the original game, we had a lot of community feedback of the ways that different people try and build in the game. And that's something that, yeah, when we were building Planet Coaster 2 and planning what we wanted to be and was trying to cater to the different types of creative builder, there are people that really like that intricate control and having the fine detail of where everything is. And there are some people that just want to have blueprints or a scenery bush that allows them to do things very quickly and easily, but then can go in afterwards and edit. I'm the kind of person that likes to use the blueprints for inspiration. I'm not an original creative thinker, but I like to use other people's inspiration. And things like the scenery brush, where you can do that, is a tool that caters to my kind of play style, where it's very quick and easy to fill voids. But then I can go in afterwards and edit it. And we have a number of different improvements that we've added in Planet Coaster 2 to allow you to be more creative if you're that kind of player.
Yeah, and it looks absolutely epic. And you know, you talk about people who like detail and doing things themselves. You know, I'm sure most of us in the community have noticed over the last week that John Burton has been playing Planet Coaster 2 quite extensively. I think he must have been one of the first people, before it was even released, he sort of had it, and he was building stuff. And I think he'd had it for about 26 minutes, and he'd built some sort of epically themed Viking roller coaster. It was just incredible. It probably says more about his skills than anything else. But I've also seen that he's now released a sort of scenery piece that can be shared and collaborated on. And that is something also that's new for Planet Coaster 2.
Yeah, that's right. It's been great to see someone like John, who had a great pleasure of meeting at Thorpe Park a few weeks ago at a preview event, and seeing how somebody that has that experience and detail of working with real life roller coasters and what they can do in the game. And in Planet Coaster 2, we have that new way of collaborating and creating blueprints and sharing them with other people, so that if you're really creative, you can share your creations, allow the other people to benefit from what you're making, or if you're on the other side of that, taking other people's work and put it in your park to fill in those voids and putting in those gaps with amazing things that people have made, such as John and some of the creative members of our community.
So if I was to go on now and build my own park, I can share that entire park with anyone who plays Planet Coaster.
Yeah, you can build parks or you can build blueprints, and you can share them via the workshop, the Frontier Workshop, and you feel that cross-platform as well. So if players are on PlayStation 5 or Xbox, you can share that to PC, and that's a new thing for Planet Coaster 2, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think it's going to be great because, you know, it takes some of that legwork out of doing some of the parks. And obviously, there's lots of other creators like Sean from Theme Park Worldwide. Obviously, did a huge YouTube series of a park he was creating. So it'll be amazing, really, for other enthusiasts to be able to go into these worlds themselves, actually go and experience them. So I definitely think that's a really, really cool update. I noticed, I think just today actually, that someone had posted a blueprint for Icon at Blackpool. And that's just an enthusiast who's got the game, and within a week, they've recreated that ride. So, yeah, I think for us as enthusiasts, it's a really, really exciting, really cool update. With the game itself, what does your research tell you about how it sort of appeals to enthusiasts versus non-enthusiasts? Do you sort of find there's a lot of non-theme park fans who actually just love the game?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a Venn diagram of people that are theme park enthusiasts and gamers, and vice versa for the non-park enthusiasts. I myself have seen that it really appeals with a broad set of creative players, as well as people that are really into theme parks. And I think it's great to provide a platform that people can be really creative, even if they're not really into the detail of going to theme parks and stuff like that. But it resonates so well with the people that love that experience. And I think that's what fills you with a warm feeling, is that these are the people that we are trying to target. You know, Planet Coaster is from theme park enthusiasts for theme park enthusiasts, which is why we make sure there's that detail in there for you guys. And it's great to see how your feedback and your positivity shows that we've been doing a good job in that aspect, and seeing you really enthusiastic for the game is great to see.
In terms of ages as well, it's just got such a broad appeal. I mean, I've got a son who's 16 and he plays it as much as my husband, who's nearly 40. And I'm sure, you know, you've got people much older than that as well. Was that sort of very intentional? For it to be a very inclusive game, which kind of welcomes and appeals to most people, all ages?
Yeah, and that's something that we consciously set out to do, is we've got a lot of experience in the industry and the gaming industry for years now. You say theme park games have been a staple of games for a long time now. So we know we wanted to appeal to people that have been playing these games for a while. We have, and that is a new generation of people to introduce games to and theme park games to. And my son plays it, my friend's sons play it, and they're all slightly different ages. And this is their first entry in playing a theme park video game, and it's something we wanted to do, is make sure that there's parts of it that are easy and accessible for people that are younger. So we have mouse and keyboard and controller in Planet Coaster 2. So if you're playing on either of those inputs, there's a way in for that. My son prefers playing on pad because that's just the way he works. But there are, as you age up and there's a lot of more experienced gamers or experienced adults using the mouse and keyboard and having that fidelity is there as well. Have you been able to do that fine tuning? And it was a conscious choice to try and appeal to as many people as possible because you really want your game to be played by as many people as possible.
Yeah, and I am in that old school bracket of I like a mouse. I like to be able to click where I'm going. My son will try and teach me on the pad, but then I can't do it. It's maxing me out. I cannot control it on the pad. I'm very, very old school, very 90s. I like a mouse. But for them teenagers, it's just a second nature, isn't it? What do you think it is about a theme park game that does draw people in? So why does it have this mass appeal?
For me, I see it as there's a couple of aspects. It's the challenge. There's an economic challenge there. You're trying to make a successful theme park, so there's a level of how you're going to use a limited amount of money or limited resource, space, or aspect of rides to build a successful park. So there's a part of that that's going to be pushing you and challenging you. But I think there's also that freedom that these can have as well. And Planet Coaster 2, you've got sandbox mode. You can jump into that and just create things and not have to worry about that. So there's different appeals there for different types of kind of things you're experiencing or what you want to chat, face when you're playing a game. If you just want something that's easy and relaxing, you can just go into sandbox mode and turn some of those settings off. But if you fancy something a bit more, you can go into career mode, for instance, as well. So I think there's different ways that they appeal to different people, and that's something we wanted to do with the game as well.
Was there anything that you found sort of quite challenging to try and recreate? Anything that you thought, we really want to get this into the game, but you find it quite hard to get
For
right?
us, the water has been one of the great exciting challenges we had. We wanted to add water parks or that amazing visuals of flumes and wave machines, but the water itself and how it looked and how it behaved was something that we hadn't done in Planet Coaster before, and the original didn't have that aspect to it. So putting guests in there, making sure that they get wet, making sure the water moves in realistic ways when people swim in them or dive in them or fall in on the flumes. When you put the game camera in the water, how does it affect the game camera? All of that aspect was something that we're really excited to do, is to make it as realistic and believable as possible, because we wanted it to have that same fidelity, that graphical look as the rest of the game as well, and that authentic, realistic roller coaster aspect, but on the water as well. And there's a level of freedom with the pools as well. You can freely draw kidney-shaped pools, or you can do different squares of them, and the water needs to look and behave in different ways depending on how you're building them. So that for us, that was a great opportunity, but something that was great to see as it came through development of it getting better and better through time, and that was really exciting.
Yeah, it's not just a case of like building just the pools either, is there? You've got to do this whole sort of filtration system, and there's power to consider and things like that. There's like a lot of back-end technical stuff that you've put into it as well.
Yeah, we wanted to add an extra layer on the management of the theme park. And with water parks, there's water filtration. You've got to make sure you've got your lifeguards in place as well. So if anyone gets into difficulty while they're swimming, there's somebody there to save the day and your guests feel safe. So water parks and all the aspects of that game is an opportunity to add more things to challenge you on the management side as well. If you're going to run a successful theme park that has all of these things in, make sure they're powered, make sure your staff are happy, make sure your guests are happy as well. So there's lots of different things you'll be tackling in the game.
I think it's a good reminder for us as well, because as enthusiasts, we go on little rants. Anyone who's passionate about any aspect of any hobby they've got, I'm sure we're all guilty of it. And we're all a little bit guilty sometimes of thinking that we know best. And it's definitely very easy in the theme park world to look at parks and go, why are they not just doing this? It's so easy. I could just go in there and I could just solve that. And then actually, when you start bringing all these issues in, which you can recreate in Planet Coaster, you're like, actually, there's quite a lot to think about. Maybe they are just doing the best that they can. But I think we're still going to rant about it. We are enthusiasts. And as enthusiasts, what would you say we are likely to be most impressed by in the game?
I think it's the added extra depth of detail on the coasters and the rides themselves. In Planet Coaster 2, it's been 8 years. We're able to do a lot more things now graphically and visually, and it's the extra level of detail we've been putting in those coasters, in those rides, so that when you get that game camera really close to it, you can see the nuts and bolts and the wheels and all the trims that you're inspired by the real life versions as well. And I think that's the thing that I think the enthusiasts will really appreciate is how we've done that across the different coasters and rides we have in the game.
And in terms of sort of looking ahead to the future, do you think there's going to be a Planet Coaster 3? Is there still more that you want to do?
We're a week since launching the Planet Coaster 2. We're still.
I know, but I'm always looking ahead. I always want more. Give me more.
We've been enjoying what the community's been building. We've been monitoring the feedback as well from that community as well to see what they'd like to see in the future as well. And that's something that we've been reading with lots of enthusiasm ourselves.
Have you ever considered a career in politics? I think you'd be very good at it.
I'm just trained, Vex.
Yeah. You know, for anyone listening, Rich does have a person over his shoulder just making sure he doesn't say anything he shouldn't. But it's fine. We can go with it. Just in terms of that community feedback, obviously, there's a couple of things that we've sort of pushed out. We asked for your thoughts on and that people have picked on and that people have picked up on since playing the game. One of them being ride stations and that being something that they think they'd love to see in future, like a bit more customization on stations. Is that something that you think is going to be possible?
I can't confirm anything specific, but we are reading those feedback and we are working on our first update for the game that will go out in December. We're looking to add loading and unloading stations in that update. So as you know, as we've done that update, there'll be things such as that you'll be able to add to your coaster stations in Planet Coaster 2, yeah.
Exciting. There's a little teaser. There you go. Watch for the updates. And I think one of the really good updates that I know everyone's been really happy with in our uber geeky ways, and it's really simple, but it's the paths. So, you know, like the queue lines, the fact that you can make a queue line which looks like the rest of the path and you can very easily draw a shape and it will expand out to that shape. I think we're all really loving that.
Yeah, the path system was something that we wanted to focus on for Planet Coaster 2. We had a lot of feedback from the original of that wanting to be a lot better. So that was something we started at the day one was how do we make the path system and the tools that we're going to use to build the pools be very similar. So they're more volume based now. So having those big wide open plazas was something that you see in real life theme parks. It's something the first steps you take into a theme park, there's generally a big open plaza that you're stood on. That was something we wanted to add in the game as well, providing you with those tools to create those kind of visuals, big open areas for your guests to use. So that was something that we were really excited to work on through development. And it's been great to see in the community sense of how you guys have been using those path tools to build in your theme parks in more realistic ways.
And just being able to change the colours on it as well. It's really good. Like, it's uber geeky. And I know that you guys are like, why are you getting excited about paths? But, you know, it's the kind of stuff that when you're into theme parks, it's the kind of stuff we notice. And being able to recreate that, it's really cool. Just one of the other things we sort of noticed when you're scaling blueprints and things like that, sometimes you're scaling it down and it doesn't all sort of scale at the same time. This is on the PS5 version. I don't know if it's the same on the desktop version. But sometimes it doesn't scale completely in line, if that makes sense. Is that something you think is just a little bit of a bug?
Yeah, that can be that fixed? Sounds like a bug. That sounds something that I'll mention it to our internal QA team and we'll see if we can maybe improve that for players going forward. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a little detail. And I think
it just shows the dedication to detail that you guys have. You're wanting this kind of, you know, as you mentioned about the change in the past and the colours, and you call it geeky, but it just shows that there's a passion for wanting that control in Planet Coaster 2, and that's something that we've always been trying to monitor and add or fix if there's a genuine bug like that. Yeah,
and like, don't get me wrong, I think there's no one in our community who's been disappointed by this game. Like, it is an incredible addition to the Planet Coaster lineup. It's got all the best bits of the first game, which is what you want, but then it's got improvements and enhancements. It's not taking away any of the magic that of what you had when you played the first game. And we are absolutely loving it. And I know you guys all work so hard and you will do updates and releases. And you're clearly really supportive of our community as well. So it's really great, you know, that you've come on and chatted to us about Planet Coaster. Just before you go, there's probably a lot of people who might be listening and might be interested in a career in the games industry. It's something that's so huge and it's so exciting. And it sounds like a really interesting career to get into. You know, you're working for a big UK-based gaming company. What would you say to them? Is there still a lot of roots into it?
Oh, definitely. I got my roots by, I did a video game degree, but that's, and I got into testing and then production and now game direction, but that was my journey. And there's lots of different people in the company that have their own different journeys. There's so many different ways to get into video game development, whether it's internships, having qualifications, or just showing an enthusiasm in your personal life and hobbies, and demonstrating that you're really, you've got skill and talent in something as well. So there's definitely big UK industry in video games. There's a number of different studios. So there's lots of opportunities for people to try and get into games.
Awesome. And just finally, how did you, as the game director, want people to feel when you were creating this game for them?
It's, I wanted a level of joy and excitement of people playing the game, of seeing a great time that your guests are having, or the great visuals of the creativity, or that feeling of when you go to the theme parks and you're having a wonderful day. That's what I wanted players to have from Planet Coaster 2. And that's something that we're really proud to have done.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rich Newbold from Frontier Developments, for chatting to us on Parkcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Of course, Planet Coaster 2 is out now. You can get it. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, you haven't played it yet, I'd highly recommend that you do. Allow yourself a fair bit of free time, though, because you will absolutely get hooked into it. There is so much cool stuff in it. It is amazing, some of the things that you can build in it now. You can really live out your theme park dreams with this game. And like we've mentioned, you can now collaborate and share, and you can go into other people's parks. It's a really, really nice community to be part of, and a really exciting game. And it's great for us as enthusiasts. We absolutely love it here on Parkcast. Right, that's about it for this week. We will be back again next week, of course, when Kev will be back with me. And if you did like today's episode, if you've been enjoying the podcast, please do give us a little rating and a little review. It all helps. And if you click the notification button, you will get a reminder every time we release a new episode, which we're going to be doing all winter. We are not going away just because the UK park season has stopped. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.